Shem Randy, January 26th, Pori.
Just to try to hear the holy names, because in this material world there are so many varieties of relationships, objects of the senses, and our mind naturally goes to that. Unless our mind has an alternative set of varieties, qualities, relationships, pastimes, it can't give up the illusory one. So the name does not stand alone. The name includes the form. The name includes the pastimes, paraphernalia, and qualities. But how to bring that out? Naturally, for the pure devotee, the name automatically reveals everything. But for those who are not pure devotees, or let's use this analogy, it states in the Nectar of Instruction that the holy names are just like sugar candy. But a person with jaundice tastes that sugar candy as bitter. But the only way to begin tasting the sugar candy as sweet, the only way to get rid of the jaundice is by eating the sugar candy. That's the way to get it to taste sweet. Just by taking it, gradually the jaundice goes away and the sugar candy tastes better and better. When it's fully sweet, we know we're cured. In San Francisco, in about 2000-2001, Srila Gurudev was telling about some of the meditations of the pure devotee while he's chanting, which naturally flows into his heart, just like a waterfall of pastimes. And Gurudev went into a deep mood and started explaining how when Krishna is in Mathura, he's sitting on the rooftop looking across the Jamuna River and seeing Vrindavan in his with the eyes of his emotions. He's seeing that the cows are practically lying dead, they're not giving milk. Even the bumblebees are rolling in the ground, weeping, not flying and humming. The peacocks have stopped dancing. The bulls no longer are fighting for the cows. And the people are all weeping and rolling on the ground. So just at that moment, Uddhav came to him, and Krishna took Uddhav is Krishna's cousin brother, and he is the best devotee of Mathura and Dwarka. So he's Krishna's friend, Krishna's minister. In fact, Krishna himself told Uddhava, "You're more dear to me even than my brother Balaram. You're more dear to me even than the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. In fact, you're more dear to me than my own self. So only you can do this favor for me." So what is that? Krishna took Uddhava's hand in his own hand and said that, "I want you to go to Vrindavan and give consolation to my relatives, to my parents, to my coward boys, and especially to my beloved gopis. They're all practically on the verge of death, and they're keeping me on the chariots of their mind." So Krishna walked Uddhava to the chariot, and when he arrived in Vrindavan, it was dusk, just turning into evening time. And first, he saw that all the cowards, men and women, they were singing very joyfully the glories of Krishna and having making cow dung patties, joyfully singing. The bulls were fighting each other for the cows, and everything was very beautiful and wonderful. Then, all of a sudden, the curtain went down, curtain of Yoga Maya, and all of a sudden everything changed. So at first, that means at first, Uddhava was seeing, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan on one hand. He never takes one step out of Vrindavan. Who is that? That is Krishna in his most complete form. Krishna is sort of complete in Vaikuntha as the God of Gods, he who breathes in and out innumerable universes, he whose expansion dwells in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and who's responsible for everyone's forgetting, remembering the results of their activities. He expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from whose navel comes the lotus flower on which Lord Brahma is born, and Brahma is the secondary creator of the whole universe. So those are just incomplete or partial manifestations of Krishna, plenary portions or portions of plenary portions. Then Krishna is complete in Dwarka, where he has married 16,000 queens, and he expands himself into 16,000 Krishnas, lives simultaneously with them, and doing different things with them. A yogi in this world, a yogi can expand into 9 forms, but they all do the same thing. When Narad Muni went to the various palaces of Krishna, he saw that in one place Krishna was attending somebody's marriage. In another place, Krishna was speaking with his queen. In another place, Krishna was playing with his children. And all different, in 16,000 palaces. So Krishna is complete in Dwarka. But Krishna is more complete in Mathura, where he took birth, and where sometimes they know that he's God and sometimes not. In Dwarka, they more know that he's God and sometimes forget. In Mathura, it's half-half. And in Vrindavan, they, no matter what Krishna does, they never know that he's God. They never believe that he's God. Even when he's lifting Govardhan Hill, Mother Yasoda thinks that because of my husband, Nanda Baba's austerities and worship of Narayan, Supreme Lord, Narayan is actually lifting the hill. The coward boys were thinking, Krishna's getting so tired holding the hill up with his finger, so we're helping him out with our coward sticks. And the gopis, they were warning Giriraj, if you fall 1 inch onto Krishna, we're going to burn you to ashes with our glances. So there's more opulence. Do you all know the example of the salt and the sugar? Anybody? Salt and sugar? If you have an ounce of salt and no sugar, and you eat that salt, it's going to be very salty, intolerably salty. If you have 2 ounces of salt and 2 ounces of sugar, even though you have more salt, it's less salty. If you have 10 ounces of salt and 10 gallons of sugar, you don't taste the salt at all, even though there's more salt there. Similarly, there's more opulence in Mathura than there is in Dwarka, and infinitely more opulence in Vrindavan than there is in Mathura, Dwarka, and Vaikuntha. And that expansion of Krishna who's breathing in and out innumerable universes. But nobody tastes it, because there's so much sweetness of human-like relationships. So Krishna is complete in Dwarka, more complete in Mathura, and most complete in Vrindavan. So he never leaves Vrindavan, but an expansion of him leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura and Dwarka. An expansion of expansion, of expansion, of expansion, of expansion, 5 times removed, becomes Mahavishnu and breathes in and out innumerable universes. Innumerable universes come out from the pores of his body, just like perspiration comes from people's bodies. So they start out as atoms of perspiration coming from the pores of the Lord, and then they turn into very big universes. So at first, also in Vrindavan, there's two prakostas. Prakost means sections of the pastimes. In one, Krishna is there in Vrindavan and he never leaves. In the other, he's left and gone to Mathura, and later on he'll go to Dwarka. How does he go to Dwarka? Because, and how does everybody else go to Dwarka? When Jarasandha, very big demon, got his whole army trying to kill Krishna and Krishna's associates in Mathura, by Krishna's mystic power, he took all the millions and billions of associates from Mathura during the night when they were still sleeping and replanted them in Dwarka, so they woke up there. So in the other prakosas, they're always feeling separation from Krishna because he's gone. Sometimes he'll appear to come back as a spurti, but actually Krishna does come back. But they think that, oh, it's a spurti or a vision that I'm seeing. So first, Uddhava saw everybody in opulent joy, very happy because Krishna was among them. But then the curtain went down and he saw everybody weeping, the bumblebees rolling on the ground, the peacocks fainted, the bulls fainted, the cows fainted, everybody's skinny, scrawny like a skeleton because no one's eating. Then he went to the house of Mother Yasoda and he saw that Mother Yasoda was lying practically like a skeleton with her eye sockets, her eyes all the way in their sockets, and weeping, but all her tears dried up, and not cooking. In her house, all the pots were turned upside down, and everything had cobwebs all over it. Why no cooking? Because there's nobody to cook for, because Krishna's not there. So then he saw Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj was weeping and weeping. So he didn't know whether to tell Nanda Baba, don't weep. Your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No need to weep. Krishna is everywhere. But the scriptures say that the perfection of life is to weep for the Lord. So he didn't know whether to say keep weeping or don't weep. So this great prime minister of Mathura, who even gives Krishna advice and everybody else advice, he was dumbstruck. He didn't know whether to say weep or don't weep. Finally, he told him, you're so fortunate that Krishna, your son, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Nanda Baba began to weep more. And then he said, oh, that makes it even worse. Just like somebody who has a Chintamani stone. A Chintamani stone is a stone, very brilliant, the most precious stone in existence. It can fulfill any desire, even make another Chintamani stone. It can give millions of pounds of gold every day and fulfill everyone's desires. So Nanda Baba is saying, it's like somebody has a Chintamani stone, but he doesn't know it's a Chintamani stone. He just knows it's something, a pretty little stone. So he keeps it in his house, but not in a very protected way, because it's just a pretty stone. And then one day, he's looking for his stone and can't find it. So his friend said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for my pretty stone. And he said, that's not a pretty stone. That's a Chintamani stone. All the money in all the universes can't buy such a stone. So then the man becomes frantic that I had such a valuable stone and then I lost it, and he goes mad. So Nanda Baba said, so now you're telling me that my son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he left me? That makes it even worse. It means that I couldn't please him. Of course, Nanda Baba never believed that Krishna is God, because no matter how much opulence Krishna displayed, Nanda Baba only thought that Krishna is my son. And sometimes, because Krishna is so mischievous, like stealing butter from other people's houses, what else did he do that's mischievous?
Pinch babies.
So many naughty things, stolen the garments of the young cowherd girls. So Nanda Baba said to Krishna, oh, when he was younger, oh, I hear that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like maybe one of the sages might say that. Yogamaya Purnamasi might say that. Or Gargamuni might say that. So I've heard that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, great, here, take my worship. You know, when he does something naughty, here's my worship. So they could never believe that Krishna is God. So then, finally, Nanda Baba said, all right, well, if he's God, then let him be pleased with us and give us salvation. What does that mean? We're so miserable. Everywhere I go to look for Krishna, that place is weeping so much. I go to Radhakund, I go to Bansibad, I go everywhere, and that place is weeping. Why do I go there? To forget. Because Krishna is always in my home, so I want to go out to forget him. And all those places are weeping and reminding me even more of his pastimes. So all right, if he's God, then let him just give me salvation. In other words, free me from this misery. So, why is Gurudev telling all this? He said the pure devotee is chanting Nam and thinking all this. Once near Los Angeles, There's another place near Los Angeles that starts with an L, La something. Huh? No. Anywhere around that area. Gurudev was doing his last program of, huh? No, around that area. He was doing his last program and everybody was already weeping. So Gurudev had Kishori Mohan Prabhu sing the Australian tune of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is a tune in the mood of separation. Can you sing it for 1 second?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Gurudev's telling all of us, meditate on Gopi Geet, on the gopis feeling separation from Krishna when he left them in the rasa dance. And the gopis are asking all the trees, Shishi Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Siddharshan Prabhu Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai, Shri Satchinandan Gaurari Ki Jai, Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. So the gopis are asking the trees, have you seen Krishna? Where did he go? And naturally the trees are not answering. So the gopis who see their own love for Krishna in everyone else, they think, oh, we know why the trees are not answering. Because they're male. So they're taking the side of Krishna. So then they're asking the creepers, have you seen Krishna, the son of Nanda? Which way did he go? And the gopis are weeping. They're doing weeping sankirtan. Gurudev explained that if you want to attain Krishna, the only way is weeping sankirtan, which is praying sankirtan. So then the creepers don't answer. So then the gopis say, ah, we know why the creepers aren't answering. Because Krishna probably just passed by here. And then he touched that creeper as he was passing by. And all of a sudden, in ecstasy, the creeper blossomed so many new flowers. And she became so shy that she's stunned and she can't say a word. So they were asking the deers, Tulsi, so many creatures of Vrindavan. Nobody was answering and they had so many reasons why nobody was answering. So the gopis were sometimes fainting, sometimes getting up, singing. So Gurudev said, okay, now, next time when we sing this, meditate on that. So then everybody sang. Then again, He stopped him in the middle. And he said, now meditate on this. Madhu Mango, Krishna's cowherd boyfriend, said to Krishna, I know why everybody loves you so much. It's because of your pecan feather and flute and your yellow dhoti, which is more shimmering than gold. If you give it to me, then I'll be popular. So Krishna gave him everything. Madhu Mango put on Krishna's yellow dhoti, peacock feather, carried the flute. And then, just coincidentally at that time, Kamsa, the evil demon who was trying to kill Krishna for so many years already, sent the big Keshi demon, who was as tall as this entire building and very ferocious, to kill Krishna. So before Keshi assumed that giant demoniac horse form, he asked Kamsa, well, how will I recognize Krishna? Well, he wears a yellow dhoti, can't miss him. He has a peacock feather and a flute. So then Keshi is looking in this big form of a horse, and there's Madhu Mango waiting for popularity. And so Keshi sees him and kicks. He doesn't kick, doesn't touch him, but just the wind from the Keshi demon blew him far away. So he said, forget it. I changed my mind. And gave Krishna back everything. So Gurudev said, so the next time you're singing, think of that pastime. Once in Badger, it was back in the 90s, late 90s, Gurudev said, while you're chanting japa, you can think this. And as Gurudev was telling what to think, the tears were coming from his eyes. And you know what happens when tears come from Gurudev's eyes, the whole place starts doing the same thing. So he said, Mother Yasoda is carrying Krishna's baby flute and baby peacock and feathers and baby toys. And she's walking in the streets around her house. And it's the hottest season of the year, the hottest month of the season, the hottest day of the month, the hottest time of the day. And so one of the other elderly cowherd ladies asked her, Yasoda, where are you going at this time of day? She said, well, I'm going to Mathura. Mathura? Why? She said, well, Krishna's there in Mathura now. So I'm going to the house of Devaki, where Krishna's staying now. And I'm going to tell Devaki that I'm going to clean your house, wash your pots, do anything at all for you. And if she asks me why, I'm going to say, so that you'll give me a darshan of your son. I won't say my son, I'll say your son. And then she walked another couple of steps, and then she fainted. Not from the heat of the day, but from her deep feelings of separation. So Gurudev said, you can meditate on that while you're chanting. Yesterday we discussed meditating on the songs in the songbook. There are several sections of songs. One in Dhainya, or humility. Like, for example, Amar Jivan, where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that I'm such a wretched, fallen person. My cherished ornaments are pride and envy. I'm an inveterate liar. For my own sense gratification, there is no sin that I hesitate to commit. I'm very happy when others are unhappy. And I'm very unhappy when I see other people happy, because I'm so envious. So I'm coming to you with my sad tale of my life so that you can deliver me. So that's Dainya. His song, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's song, Gopinath. Gopinath Mama Nivedan Suno. Well, listen to me. You've delivered all the other, listen to my plea. You've delivered all the other sinners of the world, even Jagai and Madhai. But I'm the only sinner that you haven't delivered. Is it what you do that just because I'm adverse to you, you don't show compassion to me? And what does it mean that he's calling him Gopinath? There's so many layers. On one hand, he's expressing his own conception of his wretched condition. But who is he praying to? Gopinath. Who is Gopinath? One of Krishna's most important names. Gopinath means Krishna, whose Lord is the gopis. Not who is the Lord of the gopis. He may be the Lord of his queens in Dwarka, like Satyabhama and Rukmini. But in Vrindavan, his Lord is the gopis. So in the Rasa dance, even though he's the servant of the billions of gopis, and he was dancing with them to please them in the Rasa dance, when Srimati Radhika left the Rasa dance, seeing, all the other gopis thought, Krishna's only dancing with me, even though he was dancing with billions of gopis. Why did they think that way? Because Krishna was running so fast that, watch my finger, hear my finger is slow and it's only one place at a time. But if my fingers goes very, very, very fast, then it becomes like a firebrand. It looks like it's everywhere all at one time. So Krishna was running, or dancing rather, so quickly from one gopi to another that each one thought that Krishna's only dancing with me. Yes, what he told me is true. Now I see it. Krishna loves me the most. But Radharani, who Krishna can't get away with anything, what, with or for, she's thinking, he's always telling me, I love no one but you. But here I'm seeing that he's dancing with me, and he's dancing with every single other gopi. I'm leaving. So she, in her transcendental loving, jealous anger, she left the Rasa dance, and immediately, not seeing her there, Krishna didn't care that there was billions of other gopis. He just left to search out Radharani and told her and was calling out to her, please come back. The only reason I'm doing Rasa is for you, to please you. So, got why I mentioned that. Any help? Uh-oh, we all changed our bodies.
Gopinath, you were explaining.
Thank you. So, Gopinath, please hear my plea. So who is Gopinath? The one who left all the billions of gopis for Srimati Radhika. So therefore, even though he's saying, I'm so wretched, I'm full of lust, I'm full of pride, I'm full of greed, my whole body is controlled by the modes of nature, and I want your mercy. So although it doesn't say that, what mercy he wants, it just says, I want deliverance, I want your service. But he doesn't say what service. So what is the service that he wants if he's calling him Gopinath? He wants to serve in the Rasa Leela. All the songs are for that one purpose. One time I was giving a class when I was still living in ISKCON, and I was going to give a class in Navadvip to the ISKCON devotees on songs of the songbook. So I asked Gurudev to tell me a few things. I could share with them. And he said, all the hundreds and thousands of songs by all of our acharyas, all of our preceptors in our line, coming from Srila Rupa Goswami, the only thing that they're really praying for is the maid service of Srimati Radhika. No matter what else their songs look like, that's what they're praying for. Some are obvious, like Sri Radhakrishna Padakamalayaman. At the beginning, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, I've been waiting since time immemorial to get your mercy. I'm the lowest of the low. Please pick me up and give me the highest thing. Finally, at the end of the song, he's saying, I'm holding on to the lotus feet of Lalita and begging that you'll engage me in your service in the rasa dance. Although I'm the lowest, I'm begging for the highest. Why am I mentioning that right now? Because one of the tricks that Maya plays on us is to make us think, I'm so low, how could I possibly ask for the highest thing? Even how could I even face Krishna in Harinam? It's better that I just chant Harinam and space out and think of all the material things that naturally come in my mind. Because if I actually think of Krishna and Radha, or even my Gurudev while I'm chanting, it's just too embarrassing. But our acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chulanaratam Das Thakur, are teaching us, yes, think you're the lowest. Be the lowest, fine. Pray that you're the lowest. And they're teaching us, because we're supposed to merge into the songs of our acharyas, pray for the highest. But at the same time, as we mentioned yesterday, we didn't really mention it, Gurudev's mentioning it, pray to the author of the song, that this is your prayer. You're feeling the prayer. For me, it's ink on a page, it's a melody, it's words. So please make your prayer my prayer. Please make your words and your heart my heart. And then, also because we've started from Guru Vandana, the prayers to Guru, and as we mentioned yesterday, he's listening to us no matter how bad we are. He sees how bad we are, and he's nourishing us. So then we take him to pray to the Vaishnavas. Then we take him to pray to Gornatai and their associates. Then we take him to pray to Lalita and Radha and Krishna. The root is Guru. Without relationship with Guru, we can't imagine what to speak of, serve in a relationship with the rest of the disciplic succession. So in the songbook, there's songs of Dainya, and there's songs of asking, praying for ecstatic symptoms, and there's songs for praying for direct service. Like, for example, what? What is a song we sing all the time? Jivana Marani Gati? Radha Krishna Pranamore Jugala Kishore. When will I seat you on a throne and put sandalwood on you and decorate you, swing you, fan you? When will I do all these direct services? How? By becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's at the end of the song. Or, when will I, forgetting my material body, when will I take my birth in the same place that Radharani was born, in the town of Vrishabhanu, Radharani's father? And when will my marriage be performed, marriage as a gopi, he performed in Yavat, the same place that Radharani's marriage was performed. When will I get my spiritual name, my spiritual form, and have no other conception of myself but as a gopi maidservant of Srimati Radhika? When, going to the Jamuna with a pot of water on my head, will I madly sing the glories of Sri Radha, and other people will think that I'm mad? Or when, hearing Radha and Krishna speaking with so many hints, gestures, glances of the eyes in different ways, when will I have so much knowledge by my devotion that I'll know exactly what's going on in their hearts and thus be able to serve them? So we can see that all the songs, no matter what apparent level the songs are on, they're all for that end. Then, Gurudev also said to remember the geets while chanting. What geets? Venu geets. The gopis lamenting in separation when Krishna goes out in the cow grazing every day. Brahmar geet, when Srimati Radhika is feeling separation and Krishna is so attracted to her prayers that Krishna comes in the form of a bumblebee to listen. And then she's so mad she starts speaking to the bumblebee, thinking that he's really a bumblebee, that I know you've come to us so that we'll make some compromise with that black cheetah Krishna, but we're not at all interested in compromise. And she goes on with different... You can go to the princesses in Mathura. I know that's where you came from, Mathura. How do I know? Because I can see that your whiskers have kumkum on them from having been on the kumkum on the breasts of all the different princesses in Mathura. And then by Krishna's embrace, they got onto Krishna's garland. And then you got that kumkum from Krishna's garland. And now you're coming to me just brazenly with that kumkum on your whiskers. So she's imagining that the bumblebee is telling her, no, really, this is my natural color of my whiskers. And actually, Krishna has such good qualities. He's not what you think he is. And then she says, don't tell me about Krishna. I know him. We know him. We gopis know him from childhood. Lakshmi may worship him, because she doesn't know any better. Why? Because what is her carrier? An owl. An owl keeps its eyes open at night when there's nothing to see, and keeps its eyes closed in the daytime. It's natural that Krishna will be worshipped by Lakshmi, but we're much more intelligent. So this is Brahmar Geet. And then Gopi Geet. So many beautiful verses where apparently the gopis are praying sometimes in opulence. It appears that they're knowing that Krishna is God, but not at all. In verse 4, the gopis sing. Nakalo gopika nandana inam. I'll say the English. I know that we gopis, because Krishna's disappeared in the forest, left the rasa dance. Not actually left, but pretended to leave. Really, he's hiding in a corner, listening. As there, he has very good ears because he's God. So even though they're roaming, Krishna's listening. astounded by their love and separation. So they're praying. We know. Not only that, but Krishna is also appearing in their hearts and listening from there. So they're telling Krishna, we know that you're not really the son of Yashoda. Who are you? You're the super soul, dwelling in the hearts of all living beings. And why have you come here to this world? Because Brahma, the creator of the universe, prayed for you to come and deliver the universe. And thus you've appeared in the Satvata dynasty, the dynasty of great souls. So what are the gopis really saying? They're saying, we know that you couldn't be the son of Yashoda. Really, they think he's the son of Yashoda. They know that the umbilical cord was cut. But why are they saying, we know that you couldn't possibly be the son of Yashoda? It's not to diminish Yashoda that, oh, she's only a cowherd woman. It's really to say that Mother Yashoda is so compassionate, even if a calf or a cow, Sri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Sudarshan Prabhu Ki Jai, Sri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. But you, she's so compassionate that even if a cow or calf is cut, she'll immediately stop everything and take care of it. But you have no compassion. That's why we know that you must be the indwelling supersoul in the hearts of every living entity who's traveling with the living entities throughout the different species of life, giving them the results of their activities, sometimes as a caterpillar, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as an elephant, sometimes as a human. And even though in any species of life, that creature is weeping in torture of misery, you couldn't care less. Super soul couldn't care less. He just gives the results of the person's activities, not caring how much they're suffering. So you must be that super soul. Couldn't be the son of the soda. And why are you here? Because there's someone as equally as, what's the word, when you like to see people suffer?
Sadistic.
Equally sadistic as you. Brahma created this material world. He's your friend. Brahma created this material world just so that people will suffer. And he really doesn't want people to be delivered and have liberation. That's why he called you. Because if people worship you as God, then they would get delivered. But you've hidden yourself among the family of the cowherds, and you're such a rascal person. You're such a debauchee, a thief. And therefore, nobody will worship you. And thus they'll stay in the material world. So you and Brahma are working together. So therefore we know that you couldn't possibly have come in the dynasty of the great souls, the pure devotees. Otherwise you would have the qualities of pure devotees. But we see that you have no such qualities. So in this way they're praying that please give us your darshan, please come and see us. Actually it seems like they're saying we're going to die in the next moment if you don't see us, if we don't see you and get your darshan. Everyone in Vrindavan is happy. Everything in Vrindavan is opulent because the goddess of fortune has taken birth here in Vrindavan and is sweeping everywhere and is decorating everywhere. So everyone is in great joy except us gopis. Why? Because we're feeling separation from you and we're about to die. So please appear before us. What do they really mean? That we're about to die because we know how much you're suffering without us. You can't be happy without us. But your nature is to give suffering. Therefore, your name is Achyuta. Why? Generally, when devotees worship Krishna as God, they address him as Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. He never fails in seeing the slightest bit of devotional service that anyone will offer, and he'll see it as a big service and give that devotee his causeless mercy. But the gopis have another meaning, and their meanings for everything gives Krishna much more pleasure than those devotees who are worshipping Krishna in opulence. So they're saying Achyuta means one who never fails to give others suffering. You take pleasure in giving others suffering. In fact, it gives you so much pleasure to give others suffering that you don't even mind suffering yourself as long as you can give others suffering. And that's why you're away from us and you're suffering just to give us suffering. So they know that Krishna is suffering without them, so they're just about on the brink of death for Krishna's happiness. It's very, very deep, Gurudev said. You can't imagine such states of love. So, first, there's so many songs in the songbook. Not that we jump and commit an offense of thinking that Krishna is an ordinary boy. There's so many songs in the songbook where while we're chanting, we can remember that he is the Supreme Lord. What page is Tumi Sarveswar Eswar? 12? It's a gradual process to come and to understand all these very deep feelings. But ultimately, that's our goal. Even though we're so far away, without the goal, without knowing the goal, to become a maidservant of Srimati Radhika, there's no possibility of doing any sadhana and having it be called sadhana. The definition of sadhana is the engagement in the 9 principles of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the lotus feet, carrying out the order of the Lord, offering prayers, becoming a friend, and offering one's whole soul. Engaging in the 9 processes of devotional service with the fixed goal of developing bhava bhakti or ecstatic love for Krishna, and then finally developing that love to the point of entering into the pastimes and becoming Radharani's maidservant. 112. But first, to be established in Krishna's supremacy and be surrendered, to leave everything up to him, to no longer look for happiness or shelter, peace of mind, security, nourishment, anywhere else. In a minute I'm going to call on Vasanti to make an important announcement. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, Tumi sarvesvade svada pajendra kumara tomara ichaya vishle chujana sanhara. O youthful son of the king of Braj, you are the lord of all lords. According to your will, creation and destruction take place in the universe. That means reading first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, becoming established in Krishna's supremacy. According to your will, Lord Brahma creates, and according to your will, Lord Vishnu maintains. According to your will, Shiva destroys, and according to your will, Maya, the illusory energy, your illusory energy, constructs this prison house of the material world. According to you, your will, the living entity takes birth and dies, and according to your will, They meet with prosperity or ruin, happiness or distress. The tiny soul is bound up by Maya, the illusory energy, and struggles with in the fetters or the bonds of material desires. Without your sanction, no one can do anything. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And in the mind, remembering this. No longer confident of my own strength and endeavor, I have become solely dependent on your will. Bhaktivinoda is most poor, and his pride has been leveled. Now, in accordance with your will, he lives or dies. So all these varieties of songs, prayers, meditations, geets, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There's so many promises or glories of the holy name. We have it in the beginning of our songbook in the Mangalacharna section, that the holy name halts the cycle of birth and death. It relieves one of the difficult endeavors of doing deity worship, austerity, sacrifice. It frees one from all miseries. It gives all auspiciousness. It gives all the knowledge of all the scriptures. Let's say Prabhupada manifested 60 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, Nectar of Devotion. All that is in one mantra. All that knowledge is in one mantra of the holy name. Same with Srila Gurudev's books, same with Srila Rupa Goswami's books. All that is in one mantra of the holy name. In this very beautiful book, Sri Harinam Mahamantra, there's a quote. This Mahamantra is endowed with 32 syllables and can destroy all sins. It is like fire burning all evil habits. So chanting with that faith. And if I don't have that faith, then remembering the prayers that ask for that faith. So now it's 8:00, and I'll ask Vasanti to make an announcement about what happened today and what will happen tomorrow, and then I'll ask for any questions. Loud. She will speak very loudly.
Today we had a very blissful day. It's every time to go let us out to this some festival in Konark. And when we first arrived, it was pretty quiet. We were chanting, sitting on the beach and chanting. And then by noon, many people came. A lot of people were surrounding us. And many books went out. And there you go, when you get an email from someone that's big.
Newspapers? Do you have newspapers?
Yeah, newspapers and TV, I think, or something. Yeah, because they were videoing and had their mic up and you were leading at that time. Sita was leading and they had the mic there, asking interviewing me, and you all got to move. Successful many books, mostly English books, and reading. And
they were so impressed that.
Yeah,
they,
so tomorrow they asked us if we want to. They asked us to chant tomorrow evening on stage from 5 to 6. So we're going to go back. I'm going to go back early, like at 4. Get ready to.
Be there at 4? Or
we're going to be there at 4. So we're going to be here up to 30. And we chant. Charge will become, that would be really ecstatic.
Actually, if everybody came.
Yeah, everybody. Anybody wants to come.
And I won't give class tomorrow night. There'll be a Hindi class tomorrow night. So that all the English.
Oh, so you can come then.
That's too far.
Too far to
she gets to drive.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody who wants to come, we'll leave here just after lunch. And Chan, Corneen, it's your books.
Corneen. Very auspicious.
And if maybe by next week we'll also have a report to close with beautiful
Right. Oh, you're his brother.
He was nonstop taking pictures for the report that we're going to post. So
it gets posted on the internet on gbpbookdistribution.com and goes all over the world. That reminds me of when I was at the beach with Prabhupada in 1967. We were all sitting on a blanket outside of his house on the beach, and there were some surfers, and they were wearing the black skin suits. So Prabhupada said, there is some ananda here, some pleasure in this world, but at any moment a big wave can come and that surfer will be killed. So the ananda, although there's a semblance of ananda here, of happiness here, because this world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, which is by nature full of bliss, full of knowledge, and eternal. Even though there's a semblance of happiness here, it can't be tasted. Just like if you have sweet rice, Prabhupada said, you all know sweet rice. He said, if you have sweet rice, but it's mixed with sand, the sweet rice is wonderful, but you can't taste it. So that's how this material world is. And before asking for questions, I just want to mention one last thing. I think many of you know Satsuru. He used to go and see Srila Gurudev. So he asked Gurudev that, how do I reconcile these different quotes about the holy name? On one hand, it says that even if somebody chants neglectfully or indifferently, he'll get liberation. But then on the other hand, we see that even Haridas Thakur, who's chanting so purely, didn't get to Goloka Vrindavan. And there are so many offenses. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, if one is committing these 10 offenses, even if he chants for millions of births, he won't get Krishna praying. So how do you reconcile these two? So Gurudev said that Draupadi did some service for Durvasa Rishi when she was a young girl. And so she got a boon from Durvasa that you will, Kunti Devi, when she was a young girl, she got a boon from Durvasa that you will become the mother of 5 very powerful sons, glorious and powerful sons. So how could that be? She's just a little girl. It will happen because that benediction is there. But first she'd have to grow up, get trained by her mother, then get married, serve her husband, get pregnant, give birth to the kids, and then train them. And then they would become that because they're destined to. So similarly, when it says, even if you chant indifferently, you'll get liberation or all perfection, it means that if you're starting out indifferently by the power of the holy name, the name will take you to all kinds of situations where you'll get a good association, pure devotee association, good instructions, good things coming in the heart. Gradually, you'll be free from all the offenses, and then you'll get perfection. You know, any questions or comments? Katerina? Is your name Jeff, or did you get a new name?
Jack.
You like that name? You should what? Honor it. Yes. Any questions from you or anybody? Jai Chaitanya?
I was just wondering what lesson there was in modern Mongol trying to imitate Krishna.
What lesson is there for us?
is it a song of, you said before, Australian tune, is it tune of separation? Was the Mangala Lila also part of
it? Yeah, that's interesting because that one is not in separation. The only separation there is that we're separated from being there and serving that Krishna. So we can remember it, be happy to remember it, and then remember that we're disconnected from it. And then pray the so many prayers that were given to connect with it. So that we can meet Him, we can meet Krishna. Actually, all the associates of Krishna can easily kill Keshi. That was just a Narada Leela or human-like pastime. But Gurudev told us once back in the 90s that the coward boys were all swallowed up by this big 12-mile-long demon named Agasura, snake. And then Krishna came and saved them and killed the demon. He said, but actually, all the boys were powerful enough to kill Agasura. It's what happens when you connect with Krishna. Like if you, Prabhupada gave the example back in the 60s, if you're born into a rich family, you're automatically rich. So the other night we were talking from Gurudev's lectures about how when a person chanting purely, everything that he said, that comes true. You should die, you should come back to life. He has all mystic powers. He can create a planet, he can fly in the sky like Narada Muni. He can do all those things, and that's nothing compared to the power of all the residents of Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda's breast milk, she feeds Krishna with her breast milk, just thinking Krishna's my son. But one drop, one atomic drop of her breast milk became the milk ocean that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu was lying on, which is like millions of miles. So all that is waiting for us. All the happy pastimes, the separation pastimes. And we're separated from the whole thing. So we lament into our acharya songs, their gids, their verses. Okay. Any last question or comment? And day after tomorrow we'll do more about the holy name.
Since we are so fallen,
louder.
Since we are so fallen, and we cannot think or try to adopt the mood of the singers, and to think of the Supreme direct or any way, you were mentioning earlier in when you start giving the lecture that you feel shy.
Anybody here?
That you feel shy to meditate on the Lord or even Gurudev, you know, while chanting. But I was thinking to myself, since last night I was going to ask, but now that it came up, that if it's possible that we meditate on Gurudev while chanting.
Of course. We always want Him to be with us. We pray first to Him. Back in the 90s, Gurudev told me, before you begin chanting, or as you're beginning, pray to your Gurudev, please give me that transcendental consciousness. I asked him once, is it okay to pray to Govardhan? And then I told him a particular prayer to Govardhan while I'm chanting. So Gurudev replied, you can pray to anyone who will help you. All the associates of the Lord, including Gurudev, are there within the mantra. Because why? Because Amala Hari Naamami Abhilasa. All the pastimes are in the mantra. And Gurudev is part of the pastimes. So anybody can come up from the name and listen to your prayer. And especially Gurudev. In fact, it's good to always remember Gurudev and then pray to anybody else. Always keep Him with us and then pray to anybody else. Thank you for We'll end here. It's quite late. It's 8:10. Who would like to do a bhajan? Oh, yes. Oh. Any. Any that you feel. Like the other day, you weren't here. What's his name was here? Madhukar Prabhu was here. You know, he sings like an angel. So the class was all about Hari Nam and Haridas Thakur. So he sang Jaya Jaya Hari Nam. So within the mood of what Gurudev's trying to give us, any song that you're inspired to lead us in.
Shri Radha Krishna Pranamora Jugala Kishora Radha Krishna Pranamora Jugala Kishora Jivane Marane Gati
Thank you. धन्यवाद धन्यवाद।